Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Total Information AM.
It's over!
But wait.
We're going to overtime!
It's Total Information AM Overtime.
Overtime!
On KMOX.
Well, happy Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It is 8:32. It's the 1st of December. We have a beautiful weekend in store, and we welcome into Studio B Roger Brand and Michael Kelly and John Hancock.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning. It is going to be a beautiful weekend.
Isn't that amazing?
60 degrees in December.
I love it.
Play golf.
One more weekend of enjoying the outdoors, but by Wednesday, apparently, it'll be like actual December
chilly
weather.
Cold again. You get all your Christmas stuff up this weekend outside.
Well, absolutely. I'm sure Georgianne will be doing that on your 27th anniversary. John Hancock's been married 27 years today.
Congratulations.
To St. Georgianne, which is in dog years for her. 100 years she's been married to this man.
She 100 is a
years.
Saint.
A century she's sat through.
We got married 2 days before Ivan Browning's earthquake was supposed to
happen.
1990.
What was the name of that town? New Madrid.
New
Madrid.
Yep.
So did you push up the wedding just in case the whole world ended?
And we didn't want to like shake to death. So yeah, we got out of town.
And you strapped yourself to the bed at night just in case. And
you didn't shake to death. In fact, you almost died on your wedding night, didn't you? Tell the story real quick.
A little food poisoning at the wedding reception. And it hit me at the worst possible moment.
What moment would that be, John?
Well, the worst possible moment, Debbie. And, it was my first night as a married
Let's
man.
Just say this. She had to wheel you out of the hotel room in
she
a
had to call down the
wheelchair.
Front desk. She said, "This is Mrs. Hancock in the honeymoon suite. Do you have a wheelchair that you can bring up for my husband?"
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, how long did you guys know each other before you got married?
A year.
Okay, so she's possibly at this point thinking, what have I done?
Might be only another year and it's over. You know?
It was a beautiful wedding.
Oh, that's great. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Yes.
And put that woman to work.
She's working hard out there.
All right, so given the breaking news this morning, we've been hearing this week more and more lawmakers are saying behind the scenes that the president has approached them and said, please wrap this Russia investigation up. One wonders, I mean, we all kind of want some kind of conclusion, I guess. So it may be that. Or now we're hearing that there's the plea deal today with Michael Flynn. Not sure exactly what that entails or what tales he has to tell. But what's your first thought here, John Hancock?
Well, this is not really a new revelation. The fact that he did talk to Ambassador Kislyak and may very well have discussed the sanctions that were in place on Russia that had been put there by the Obama administration as a result of the Ukrainian situation. And this is what is important to note here is that this is not campaign collusion that he's pleading to here today. What he's pleading to is that he lied to the FBI about a conversation with Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, and he's probably trying to cut a deal for himself here.
Yeah, and his son. His son is also under scrutiny here. His son has not been brought up on anything. Look, he's pled on one charge of, or he's going to plead apparently on one charge of lying to an FBI officer. Which, if you wind up dealing with the feds, is likely what winds up happening to most folks that don't tell the FBI the truth. So they now have a hammer over his head. I would imagine there were other charges that could have been introduced. I'm speculating,
right?
As are you, and that those will continue to be held over his head, probably for some type of cooperation in the Russian investigation.
And the other thing that's buzzing around Flynn is the work that he had done for the government of Turkey. Which he was intervening on behalf of Turkish interests as he was working as the incoming national security advisor. And so that's another charge, again, not related to collusion with the campaign, but certainly a conflict of interest is he was had been paid by and had not disclosed that he had been paid by the government of Turkey, and he was representing that. And I don't even remember the exact fact set of what he was representing, but he was representing Turkish interests as he was the incoming NSA director.
Are any concerns here about the fact that while the president, you know, may have, you know, we've got this whole Comey situation with right. him. But now we've got Jeff Sessions refusing to answer a direct question of whether or not the president asked him to basically derail the Justice Department investigation. And Sessions says, I can't answer that question. Well, you can. You can say yes or no. He said, I can't answer it.
Yeah.
That doesn't really sound good.
This was a campaign, if we go back, that they couldn't even collude with the Republican National Committee. I mean, you know, the Trump campaign, they couldn't even collude amongst themselves. I mean, it was a very haphazardly run campaign.
Yep.
I don't personally believe they're going to find evidence of collusion with Russian agents in the campaign.
Well, if there's nothing to see here, there's lots of people lawyered up and there's lots of people pleading this stuff here, which... We talked about this before. Once you get a special prosecutor, as we all remember with Bill Clinton, they don't go away.
That's right.
They're going to, you know, rarely do the feds shoot and miss. They typically get what they're looking for.
They've already got Papadopoulos. Now they've got Flynn.
Manafort. Now they're going to get Flynn.
Yeah, so.
There's lots of people. And then you have the attorney general not speaking. This is not good. You can spin this how you want. You can say that this is not good for the Trump administration.
No, clearly not good.
No.
Clearly not good.
All right. Well, we're in agreement on that.
Yes.
It's not good as we head into the holidays. But they did light the tree last night, and that was a pretty tree.
It's always fun. Merry Christmas.
It is 8:38 right now. We need to take a break, and we'll check in with Roger and see what's happening on the roadways as overtime continues here on Friday, December the 1st. What's overtime for the 1st of December? It's hard to believe it's the 1st of December, for one, because the weather is going to be so nice this weekend, and two, because I just can't believe we're almost done with 2017.
I know.
Look, we're going to the holiday radio program on
Monday.
Think about that.
I know.
Scripts are here if you haven't
grabbed it. Yeah, did you get your scripts?
Yes. Okay. Hancock and I, with just another overwhelming role that
one
we
scene.
Have. Yeah, one scene.
That's all I can handle.
Yeah. Though.
I apparently have two costume changes, and I haven't really gone through the script yet.
I read a little bit of it. Yeah, it's an interesting storyline this year.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Wait a minute.
Story.
Colleen has an interesting storyline for the holiday play?
Yeah, it's hard to
bring your scorecard on this one.
Oh, come on. It's a blast every year.
Oh, it's always a blast. It's just a storyline that goes 18 different directions.
Yep.
Just like the inner workings of the mind of Kevin Colleen.
Oh,
is that right?
Also, he has the challenge of somehow trying to get all of us on stage, you know, interweave all of us into the roles. But by the way, speaking of that, I should let you know that tickets are on sale. There's still a handful left, and I'm just going to give you a secret promo code.
Ooh.
KMOX5OFF. KMOX, the number 5, off. So if you go to KMOX.com/holiday, you can get your tickets and use that promo code and you'll get $5 off your tickets. So that's a good deal. And hopefully we'll see you in the Sheldon, on Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night.
Should be a good time. Okay, so let's talk about the tax plan, because there are still some Republican holdouts on the tax plan, and the Congressional Budget Office has come out with some things that are not so great. $1 trillion deficits, raising taxes on the middle class. There are some GOP holdouts that may tank this thing. What do you think, Michael Kelly?
Well, yesterday was the day, right? We heard yesterday, hey, this is a done deal, and then all of a sudden the scoring comes out. And it shows that it's going to blow a hole in the deficit. You know, and that used to be the focus of the Republican Party, was the deficit and the spending of the Obama administration. And now they're going to put on a big chunk of change onto the credit card, just like apparently Obama had done. And so now that the cats are starting to jump off the boat, I got to tell you, I don't think they're going to get this done by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. It's going to pass today. But the problem with the scoring is it's dynamic scoring, and they're looking at what the economic growth is going to be. And a lot of Republicans believe that the Joint Committee on whatever that released the scoring didn't accurately reflect the amount of growth in the economy that's going to come about. One of the possible solutions for that, and I think what they're hammering out today, is to put some kind of a trigger into the bill so that if, in fact, the revenues to the government don't come in as aggressively as we hope and expect them to, then the corporate tax rate, which is lowered from 35 to 20, might be lowered from 35 to, say, 22 to keep the deficit numbers in line. That's important because there are a handful of senators, Bob Corker chief among them, for whom the deficit control is the preeminent issue. So in order to keep everybody in the tent here, there's only 52 of us Republicans, they have to address these concerns of the deficit hawks. I think they're going to be able to do that. It might be a trigger mechanism that they put into the bill. And once that occurs, it's going to pass the Senate, go to a conference committee, get hammered out in final detail, and then pass. That's what I predict there, Kelly.
I don't know. We will have to wait and see. But this was a done deal yesterday, right? They had all the votes, and then this morning we wake up to find that Corker and others are jumping off. And this is part of the problem, too, when you craft legislation on the fly, John, as we know. You patch one hole here, you rip open another hole on the other side of the boat, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, it's a difficult little lane to navigate.
8 years you've been talking about tax reform, and just like you've been talking about repealing Obamacare, like you've been talking about building a wall. And when it comes down to having the legislation, it's not together. I guess they were surprised that they were going to have an opportunity to do this.
Oh, you just stay tuned there, Kelly. It's all going to work out.
If we continue to mark the tape all the times you tell me it's going to happen, guess what, dude?
We'd have a lot of tape out there.
Yeah, a lot of useless tape.
I was going to say, it's because it's look who's in charge, though. It's Trump. I mean, if it was, one of the other Republicans that are one of the traditional party members, they could have been crafting this and putting together alliances a long time ago. But Trump just flies off the handle and every this way and that. It's hard to get cohesion, I think.
One of the challenges with the deficit here is that the president took entitlement reform off the table during the campaign. He said he is not going to reform Medicare or Social Security. And so the only place, if you're really going to cut federal spending, the only place where there's real money is the entitlements. And so when you take that off the table, it's virtually impossible to cut spending sufficiently to, if there's a $1 billion hole, which is what the Joint Committee said, you can't get there with just spending cuts without entitlement reform. So that has caused a little wrinkle in this whole process. Yeah.
Why can't they just have the Hancock Amendment, right? That's our state.
The John Hancock Amendment.
No, that's not me.
I know. But I mean, why can't we have that in the federal system?
They have had in the federal system spending caps. And they've done that in the budget that much of the Obama administration had those budget caps in place. But the budget caps keep the spending from growing past a certain level. But there's nothing in there that is requiring cuts. And actual cuts in spending is the only way you're really going to put a dent.
Right. I mean, if you don't have the money, you can't spend the money.
Yeah, that would be the way it works.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it works at my house.
And me too.
That's not how it's worked for our federal government for the last 60, 70
generations,
years.
Generations, right.
Yeah.
All right, we have one more segment of Overtime. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple things to get to, including maybe one of the problems with this whole sex harassment Me Too movement is that men don't actually understand what sexual harassment is. Could that be the results of a new survey that are kind of surprising? It's 8:48 on Overtime.
This is TIAM Overtime on KMOX.
KMOX News Time is 8:53, and let's see, if you can donate a car for Cardinals field box tickets, go to mersgoodwill.org. And before the break, I was mentioning that maybe we have a difference of opinion on what constitutes sexual harassment, especially in the workplace. By the way, I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Hancock and Kelly and Roger Brand.
Hello, Debbie.
Yes.
Hello. This headline just totally caught my attention. 1 in 4 men don't think exposing themselves constitutes sexual harassment.
One in four men surveyed,
1,000 men surveyed in this new survey, and we seem to have a preponderance of men dropping trow in front of women who
did not want that
done in front of them. 1 in 4 men don't think that's sexual harassment.
It's weird.
I mean, we're not talking about like the nude bike rides. I mean, when it's a big group getting together, we're just talking about somebody thinking that standing there
on their own, dropping your drawers.
Let me suggest
that survey might be off a little bit because
you think it's more than that.
I think that most men would understand that dropping your drawers in the office when you invite a coworker in is wrong.
But apparently not, because it seems to happen
I worry when I'm out doing yard work and my jeans are a little loose and my pants are like they're sort of slipping down. I'm like, I don't even want, how the guys that wear their pants too low, I don't even want them going that far down.
Yes.
Good grief.
Please pull up your pants.
I think we can all agree that the pants need to be pulled up.
Yeah, and then stay up.
Yes.
And apparently, let's see, we have 38% of men don't believe that following a woman when she clearly doesn't want to be followed is an issue.
Following, like stalking,
you're whistling at a woman on the street and then you just start following her. Most women would find that horribly frightening
and would
probably call 911, but 38% of men think that that's not a problem.
That's a problem.
Well, that's weird.
Wow. We do have problems.
Yes. So I did hear a really interesting story this morning, yes. And I probably don't have time to play the whole thing.
Half of the people in Alabama don't have a problem with a guy who chases little girls, though.
So that is true.
What can we do?
That is true. But if he was a different political party, they would. Yeah, then it would be a problem. Larry Magid had a great story about one way we could possibly address this is with virtual reality, where men would have to sit there with their little virtual reality things on and experience what it's actually like to be sexually harassed. So I know some men are like, well, I would like it. But maybe instead of having a woman sexually harass them, then it would be like some big burly guy, you know, where you feel powerless and this guy's in your face. But virtual reality really does kind of, you know, when you're doing virtual reality, it mimics all of those feelings that you would actually feel. Yeah, so
you put the goggles on and all of a sudden you're taking a picture with Al Franken.
Yeah, well, I think there's something to that, right? I mean, they have these things where they put men in suits where they feel like they're pregnant so they can understand. I think that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, so maybe we should incorporate that into our sexual harassment training.
I was going to say, we haven't taken that module yet here, have we?
Let's not bring it up, huh, guys? I don't want to have to go through that. It's 2 hours we don't get back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.